Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life Rewired podcast. And thank you guys for joining us on this Wednesday, February 21st. Today's week is a little bit different than most. I actually have my bachelor party coming up this week. So we kind of shifted some things around. So we wanted to get this episode out before I headed out this week. But today's episode is all about fitness myths. We thought this would be a really appropriate episode to kind of break down some of the top myths in the health and fitness space, because we know that, you know, a lot of this shit can be as like really confusing as it is. And we really just want to help you guys obviously cut through all the BS and just get clear on what really matters when it comes to getting the results that you want in your health and fitness journey. But before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people do not realize is that most of the healthy protein bars that you find on the market are actually just heavily processed with fillers and unnatural ingredients. And we know that if we consume too much of these processed foods too often, it can eventually lead to long-term health issues. So this is why, you know, we love the Nash bars. We never even have to think twice about the ingredients, and they truly are the good for you protein bar. So make sure you guys head to the show notes after today's episode to get your hands on a box of bars. The next release is going down tomorrow, February 22nd on Thursday at 6 p.m. So make sure you guys get in before that window to snag a box of bars to try. So on to today's episode. This is episode 123, Top Fitness Myths.
And before we dive into these, I think it's really important to understand that the fitness space is so overwhelming. There's so much information out there, and we just want to, like Zach said, be able to like cut through the BS and help educate you guys so that this whole fitness thing becomes less overwhelming and you feel confident on your own health and fitness journey. And this first one is one that I hear all of the time, and specifically with women. I think men too want a spot rooted specifically in like our stomach area, our waist. But the reality is you cannot spot reduce. And there's a lot of like supplements out there. There's a lot of quick fixes out there where it's like decrease your waist or lose 20 pounds in 1 week. And that's just all lies. So the reality is that you cannot target fat loss from a specific area just by exercising alone. So like when you see someone on Instagram say like, get a six pack with this exercise, like there's no one exercise or one thing that's going to create fat loss in one area. When you lose body fat, your body doesn't selectively burn it from one area. We all have kind of, I call it like an order of operations, just like in math when you were in school, there was like a certain order you had to do things. Like your own body, based on your genetics, based on so many other factors, is based on like your fat loss is determined by that. So some women lose fat in their arms first, then their upper abs. And typically for us women, like our lower body, like our legs and our lower stomach is the last place we lose. And that's once again, genetics. It's also us as women, like our bodies are just the reality is like made to have babies. And that's where our body holds body fat to feel safe and say like, hey, we can build a human with this stored body fat. And also it's based on hormones. So our body fat and like where we lose body fat, we can't compare it to men. I hear it quite often too with women who are like dieting at the same time as their significant other. And they're like, oh, they lost 10 pounds. I only lost 2, or they're losing body fat quicker than me. You can't compare you versus a man. You also can't compare you versus someone else. Like your genetics and where your body stores body fat is going to be different. And the only way to reduce body fat is by being in a calorie deficit and having more lean muscle mass on your frame and doing it consistently. And that's the thing that holds a lot of people back. And that's where we can like say in our heads, like, oh, I want to lose from this specific area, because it's frustrating when we're not in a calorie deficit for long enough to see that fat loss. I remember when I competed, my posing coach literally like pointed out like my inner thighs and my stomach, and was like, that's going to be your last place to go. And you may have to go to some extremes to get there. And in order to get like to that very, very, very low body fat percentage, I lost my period. And now I know, being on the other side of that, it's not worth it. Like I'm okay with having a little body fat on my stomach or in my legs because it's keeping my hormones happy. And your period's your report card for your body to say like, hey, we're safe, we're good. And so for women, like we can't get to the extreme low body fat percentage as men specifically. And we also can't choose where that body fat's coming from.
Yeah. And I don't know why, like psychologically, this is like just so ingrained in people. I actually have like two examples literally this week alone, like a Monday session with one of my in-person clients. And then even when I was with my parents on Monday, but I had a client literally tell me like, yeah, like I'm just feeling really tight, you know, in my abs and stuff. Like I'm doing a lot of core, and I'm like, come on, man. How many times have I told you? Like this does not directly correlate, you know, and that's one of the most frustrating things ever, because I think a lot of people directly believe that the causation, like literally them doing one exercise, is causing that area of the body to tighten or like lean out. And it's simply just not the case. And I even my mom said the same thing the other day, or on Monday as well, where she was like, yeah, like, you know, this is like, I really want to like tighten up this area of my arms. And I'm like, Mom, like, that's not exactly how it works. And I was explaining to her once again. So it's just like funny that like this is something that's so ingrained in us psychologically. But the sooner we can realize that, you know, the exercise, the training, yes, it is directly building and helping, it's helping strengthen our bodies and it's helping us build and grow that muscle tissue, but it's not causing fat loss in that area. So like if we're training our abdominals or we're doing a lot of abdominal training, yes, we can develop the tissue, the muscle tissue in the abdominals, but it doesn't mean that the fat is being eliminated magically. You know, it's like Christina described, it's that total reduction of body fat over time that is going to cause you to lean out in these various, excuse me, areas of the body. And this is even something where I've experienced it firsthand, where for me, like the literal last area of my body for body fat to go is my stomach, and especially like my lower abdominal area. You know, and that can be really frustrating because, you know, there are other people who are genetically gifted where, you know, they maybe carry body fat, like the last place for it to go in them is their legs, but then they have abs, even if I have a lower body fat percentage. So it's all about how the fat is distributed across the body. And unfortunately, it's just totally genetically individual on how that works and where, you know, someone may be leaner than the other person. So that's why, like, again, comparing, you know, is something that we really have to avoid and be careful of, because everyone is truly genetically different. Where people lose body fat first will be completely different in an individual, and the rate at which it will take and the protocols it will also require to achieve said fat loss is going to be different per individual. So this is once again why it's so important to A, understand this concept, but then B, you know, really start to get dialed, you know, on your plan at an individual level, because that's really where we start to see the total reduction in body fat. When we have a nice cohesive balance of what we're doing nutritionally, what we're doing with our training, and what we are doing with our lifestyle, all three of those things are going to directly impact your ability to consistently lose fat over time. And so number two, cardio is the only way to lose weight. So this is definitely not the case. You know, there are so many different forms of exercise that we can do to elicit caloric output, but something that we discount, you know, is the fact that really only like 10 to 20% of our total activity for a given day is coming from, you know, our exercise. This is where like non-exercise activity, the movement happening throughout the day, is so like underrated and honestly crucial for successful weight loss. I've actually seen this be kind of like a bottleneck in certain clients' weight loss journeys by not focusing on that non-exercise activity, thermogenesis or steps or just basic movement throughout the day. And it's crazy how something as small as that variable can be the difference maker in successful weight loss. And every time we talk about that, I don't want you guys to get the misconception that the workouts and the training, like, we don't have to do it. Like, that's not what I'm saying by any means. It's a nice combination and cohesive combination of both, you know, the training and the exercise and the cardio and everything that you're doing in the gym, along with what you're doing outside of the gym. But something that we don't want to discount is the importance of building lean tissue. Like, truly, you know, knowing the things I know now about longevity and honestly, like, muscle loss that happens over time, I think no matter what anybody's specific, like, goals are, I think building muscle should always be at the center of every single person's program, because over time we lose that tissue. Over time, we are going to lose the ability, you know, to build a substantial amount of muscle mass or even like an optimal amount of muscle mass over time. So we really do, you know, want to make the most, especially of these younger years where we have the ability, you know, to build that lean muscle, because we're essentially compounding our efforts for the future, where, you know, when we are in our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, our 60s, we're going to have an incredible foundation of lean tissue built in our bodies. And so that's really where we just have to once again go back to, like, what is the intent behind the movement or behind the exercise that we are doing in the gym? And this is where I personally believe, like, finding and striking a good balance between cardio and between strength and resistance training is money, because then that way we're not, you know, going to one extreme or the other, or, you know, saying, hey, we have to choose one or the other. We can have both. We can do both. It just has to be delivered in a way that's sustainable and smart for the individual. So this is why I think, you know, it's important to incorporate that cardiovascular activity into the training, But, you know, say you are like going through seasons where you were pressed for time. This is where I think, you know, we should really utilize the time inside the gym to focus on good quality resistance training. And then if you are, you know, really busy, that's where you can try to focus on the movement outside of the gym to really keep that activity and that energy expenditure high for the day. Because that's really what we want to think about. You know, we are getting a little bit of caloric expenditure from these workouts, especially like when we do have conditioning incorporated. So we're not discounting that. But again, we want to have that nice, you know, balance between the activity happening throughout the day and the activity and the expenditure happening inside of the workouts.
One of my favorite ways to talk about this too is just that compound effect. It's just like investing, like strength training is investing in your long-term health, where cardio burns calories in the moment. So like the more muscle you have in your frame over time, the more calories you burn at rest. So you're turning your body into a fat burning machine. You're getting more ROI long-term, and that cardio can be mixed in as a tool to burn calories in the moment, but it's not the end all be all, which is what, especially as women, like I was even listening to a podcast yesterday where they talked about how like in the weight room, and I experienced this in college, it was like the girls' room and the boys' room. The girls' room was Ellipticals, treadmills, Stairmaster. The boys' room was the weight room. And I was one of the, like back in 2012, like doing a bodybuilding.com training program, like going from the cardio room to the weight room was like, oh my gosh, like the biggest deal. But now it's become so normal, which I absolutely love. On this podcast, it was Dr. Gabrielle Lyons. She talks so much about muscle. She's like the muscle like advocate in the fitness and like doctoral space. And she talked about how like the obesity problem isn't a weight problem or a fat problem, like body fat, it's a muscle problem.
And she talked about metabolic problem, because that muscle is directly tied to that metabolic health.
Yeah. And she said that having more muscle on your frame increases your survivability, like your risk for disease is more correlated to your lack of muscle versus your increase in body fat. So strength training is honestly like, we have so many benefits we could talk about for days, but I know old me, like if I could go back to me like 10 years ago and like shake me and be like, hey, get off the treadmill and lift some weights, then my body composition would be light years ahead.
Yeah. Like there's so much science out there of like the physiological return that happens on our bodies, our mental health, our physical health from the resistance training. So like on top of all these benefits we're talking about, you know, it's just so crucial for long-term health. Like that's really the point we want to get across, like regardless of what your, you know, immediate goals are. And if we are just constantly doing cardio and we don't have a foundation of muscle built, like we're just going to keep kind of like getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier and skinnier, but we're not going to have a whole lot of like lean tissue on our frame. And like, that's the irony of striking this balance where if we can keep our, you know, nutrition dialed, we can eat a higher protein diet, we can balance resistance training with cardio. That's where we can lean out, have fat loss happening, but also retaining that lean tissue.
Exactly. And the next one, I feel like, is something we talk about a lot in the podcast. So if you're a LifeWired listener for a while, you'll know that eating less is not always better. And that's the biggest myth, is that like, just eat less, eat less, eat less. And a lot of coaches out there will say like, if you're not losing weight, you're just not in a calorie deficit. But if you're eating 1200 calories and you have been for years, eating less is not the answer.
Yeah, you can't go any lower.
No. And actually, one of my good friends, Janae, tagged me in this reel the other day. It was actually of like, what's the Gordon Ramsay show where he's cooking?
I forget, but I saw that same thing.
Yeah. And basically, he was saying he eats 10,000 calories a day. And this woman who was watching and was like on the, like the back end of like behind the scenes, she said, I'm only allowed to eat 1,200. And I went on this huge rant on my story that like, as a grown woman, she was probably in her like 30s or 40s. Like, we are not meant to eat 1200 calories. And back in the day when like I first downloaded my fitness pal, that's what it told me I should eat. And it only created a horrible relationship with food. I would under eat Monday through Friday, overeat on the weekends. And that creates a terrible relationship and like vicious cycle for your metabolism.
Well, so and if you're eating that low, like there's a good chance you're not moving nearly enough. Like you're probably like in a very sedentary state to even be able to function off of that low amount of calories.
Yeah, because it's below your BMR, so your body doesn't have enough energy to function like mentally or physically. So your ROI on your workouts is going to be significantly less because you don't have enough calories to fuel lean muscle mass. And you're also just like NEAT throughout the day is probably decreased significantly. I know back then for me it was. And eating less is not always the answer. I promise you that the amount of food you're eating and like what you're filling those calories with does matter. So like eating more healthy foods, like eating more protein, eating more goal foods. Like we see it time and time again, like 100% of the time with clients when they come in, like a lot of times clients are eating below their BMR just by increasing their calories with more protein, more goal foods. They then have more energy. They're able to push harder in their workouts. They're able to get more PRs, which then equals more muscle mass, which then equals a higher metabolism. So they're able to, quote, diet at higher calories. But you have to go through that phase of like a reverse diet or metabolic reset to improve your body composition, increase your energy, and help create a thriving metabolism for future cutting phases. If you're chronically dieting for long periods of time, your metabolism adapts. So your body then thinks like, oh, if we only eat 1200 calories, we only need that much to survive. So that's now your maintenance calories. And your body thinks like, hey, if we even want to lose weight, we have to eat less than that. And less than that is not possible. Like I will tell you, for long periods of time, it's just not possible. 1200 calories is not nearly enough. And by eating more, like I'm eating double what old Christina used to eat, and I have way less body fat, way more lean muscle mass. And once again, I wish I could go back and shake myself, because I used to believe all these myths. I know a lot of women do, but we're here to tell you, like, eating more is an incredible thing, and Zach's experiencing it right now too.
Yes, I have. And before I dive into kind of, you know, what I'm experiencing right now, this is something we see most prominently with clients. Like, to be quite honest, I would say more times than not, clients that come into my program with fat loss or weight loss goals actually surprisingly have to eat more rather than eating less, even initially, even if we have to like get them back to maintenance and get their metabolic health in a good place before cutting. You know, these are things we experience a lot with clients, and I have experienced it firsthand. You know, there might be people out there who can, you know, genetically just keep eating less and less and less, and like they get the return that they're looking for. But I know that I am a very, like, when I look at myself, I'm a very complex client. And I always joke, I'm like, I am my best client, because I have to get my shit dialed so that I can, you know, show up as my best version of myself and coach my clients through their fitness journeys. But I've been experiencing this firsthand, where I was in a cut, you know, leading up to our wedding and to my bachelor party, which is this week, like I talked about. And I hadn't been all the way up, you know, to the height of my maintenance calories in a while. And I actually, you know, was getting to a point where I was like really trying to aggressively cut, where I was even pulling a little bit more calories away and getting as low as like, you know, 24, 2500 calories with a maintenance calories of like 34, 3500. You know, once again, depending on activity levels, but I kept trying to push it lower. And I was noticing, I'm like, my body really seems like it's, you know, resisting change. You know, it was very evident that like I was looking flat. Like Christine and I were talking about this. I just like felt flat. My energy was low. I even got to a point where like some of my workouts, you know, were a challenge because the energy was so low. And I'm like, you know, the fat mass is kind of being held like in like my stomach. And like, that's really the last place for it to go for me. So I was kind of in like a frustrated state, and I'm like, I have no other choice but to start increasing these calories back up. And so as Chris and I were talking this through, I'm just like, I'm going to be really diligent about tracking my activity, especially like my steps and my movement. So I'm going to keep my activity high. I'm going to add in some conditioning, you know, into the mix of my workouts. So I'm keeping my energy expenditure high. And then I slowly just started bringing those calories up over time. But another caveat is that I also was filling those calories with pretty much like all whole foods, like literally fruits, vegetables, starchy carbohydrates, and lean proteins, and even being conservative with those carbs. Like I was really getting a lot of the carbohydrates from fruits and vegetables. So just good, clean energy, macronutrients, micronutrients. And I literally, you know, over these last, you know, couple of months have been bridging that gap. And I'm now all the way up, you know, to 3,400 calories. This is like the most calories I have ever eaten in a long time. Because the highest I've, you know, originally kind of gone in the past is like around that 3,000 mark. So I've really tried to push it. And I am literally leaner, tighter, muscles are more filled out. I have more energy. I legitimately look completely different. And it's just unbelievable how that change can happen when we bring those calories up over time. So I'm telling you guys, like, eating less is not always better. And we see this time and time and time again with clients where, you know, for some people out there, you know, the rare breeds, people who are very genetically gifted, you know, they don't necessarily maybe have to go through these different phases of manipulating calories up and down. But for a lot of us out there who struggle and these results do not come natural at all, I'm somebody like that, where it's like, I don't, like, my homeostasis is not just like walking around lean all the time. Like, I really do have to be intentional and work at it. And I know Christina is very much so the same. So that's really how and why, you know, we relate to a lot of our clients and a lot of you guys, is because we have to work for this too. You know, it does not come easy to us. And we have to go through these different phases of manipulating our calorie intake, focusing on activity, focusing on how do our workouts look, balancing recovery, balancing sleep. Like, we have to do all of these things. We have to control all of these variables to get the results we want. And so just really don't discount that, guys. You know, and what we know about nutritional science, you know, the more intake we do have, the more energy expenditure we're going to be able to elicit. It's just all about keeping activity levels high when you are increasing those calories and making sure you're filling those calories with good quality nutrients. We obviously don't want to like stuff our faces and like eat a bunch of crap. Like that's definitely not what we're saying with this. And the next myth we wanted to talk about is long workouts are better. So I would 100% argue this because, you know, as I've gotten even busier and busier and busier, I've had to get incredibly efficient with my time and with my workouts. I would say nowadays, most of my workouts are capping at about 45 minutes. Like literally get in, get out. I have to be so intentional. And it's truly, I talk about this all the time on social media. And I just hope I can get the point across to most of you guys out there listening. But I'm telling you right now, what you are doing in the gym is not even nearly as important as how you are doing it. Like truly, even if I threw two exercises at you, no matter like minimum, like two exercises, just threw them at you. And we did those with an insane amount of intensity. You know, we were eliciting like tempo. Maybe we had some like pre-fatigue in there. You know, we were going slow. We were creating like full range of motion reps, great mind-muscle connection, like true intense sets. Like you would be smoked just from two exercises. So I'm telling you guys, like it's all about how you are performing the exercise. And a lot of times, like when we're spending an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours in the gym, and you know, we're really not a whole lot, like we don't have a whole lot of fatigue going on, there's a good chance like we are not training intense enough. So anytime you guys want to get more with less, we have to make it more intense. So like for me, something that I really like to do, and I just want to explain this really quick because I think it would be beneficial for somebody out there to implement. But something I've noticed is like, I'm a strong guy. You know, I have a very strong, like I just have a foundation of strength from being a D1 athlete and like lifting heavy shit for a long time. Now, as you guys know from the way I've talked, like I don't do that a whole lot anymore. But my point I'm trying to make is like, it's really hard for me to fatigue my muscles. Like I have to, if I'm going to do like just normal sets, like it's going to take a lot of time and heavy ass weight to get me to the point of intensity I need. So something I've been doing is implementing pre-fatigue sets where I'm fatiguing the muscle because again, the goal is muscle growth. So I don't, in those moments where I'm chasing muscle growth, performance, you know, kind of takes a back seat. So, you know, fatiguing the muscles for muscle growth is actually a good thing. For performance, we obviously don't want the muscles fatigued because we're trying to perform. So totally different intent. And that's why it's so important to understand intent. But for me, like when I'm doing some of these muscle growth sets where that's the intent, I like to pre-fatigue where like I'll do a set of lateral, like a hard set of lateral raises and literally go immediately into shoulder press. Like it is horrible. It sucks. But the intensity is insane. So that's how I've been able to like really get a lot of intensity out of my like workouts with less time is utilizing things like pre-fatigue sets, doing like timed, like longer time-based intervals, things like that, where I can create a higher amount of intensity in less time. And to be honest, guys, like as you get older, less is more. You need more recovery as you get older. So that's why like you see a lot of people, you know, as they do age, you know, going into like 3-day splits, doing less and actually getting more of a return for doing less. And I know Christina's even been experiencing that herself.
Yeah, I think that the longer your workouts are, the less efficient they are. And if you're adding more to your workouts, especially like if you're following a program, you're not going hard enough. I can tell you that much. So we've gone through seasons of life where we're doing 4 exercises for a workout, but going really hard, like heavy, being intentional, focusing on time under tension. And I've got way more out of those workouts than hour and a half long workouts. And
heavy is like always relative. Like when we say heavy, like it doesn't mean, I think a lot of people think like as soon as we say heavy, it's like, okay, 1 rep max. It's like, no. That's not what we're talking about. Heavy relative to, you know, paying attention to tempo, range of motion, mind muscle connection, and pushing heavy, but never sacrificing those things.
Agreed. Yeah. Heavy for me is like very light, to be quite honest. I used to ego lift and be like, oh, I have to lift so heavy. And the reality is like I'm focusing on a certain RPE and like feeling with my workouts. Essentially, I'm just trying not to go through the motions. If you are just like breezing through your workout, like, yeah, the weights are probably too light. And that's probably a warm up set versus a working set. But once you start to understand like how it should feel at the end of each set, like your last few reps are a little bit sticky versus just like, ooh, I don't even need any rest. Like I can keep going. Like if you also aren't resting between your sets enough, you're probably not going heavy enough in that working set.
Yeah. A good indication that you guys are training intense enough is like, when you start to see the reps slowing down, that is an indication that there's a ton of tension happening, which is good for muscle growth. We want tension. So like when you guys are slowing down when the reps are starting to get really hard, you're making those, you know, ugly ass faces, like, those are the good reps. Those are the reps we need to get. So, you know, pay attention. I'm telling you guys, because when you look around in the gym, no one does this shit. Literally no one. Everyone's going through the motions for the most part. Everyone's flying through reps. There's no intent. Everyone's just doing what they saw online. So if you can be the one person that knows why you're doing what you're doing, and you have that intent behind why, what it is that you're doing, and you understand what you're getting out of what you're doing, that's where the magic happens. And that's where you start to create real fucking change.
Could not agree more. And speaking of weights, this next one goes kind of hand in hand. That big myth is women will bulk up with weights. And I hear this all the time from women who are, whether it's scared to lift or their boyfriend told them, like, don't eat protein or don't lift because you're going to get bulky. The reality is that we don't have enough testosterone to create a bulky look. I have more lean muscle than like the average woman, I guess you could say, just like years of lifting. So I was eating over 1 gram per pound of body weight. I was doing hypertrophy training for years and years and years. And when I got my hormones tested, he was like, your testosterone is so low. Like, your body is fighting to create lean muscle. So I'm actually taking testosterone, like not a hormone therapy, but like just a supplement, like it's a tincture to increase my testosterone by 10 points because it's going to increase. He's like, it's one of your goals to have a thriving metabolism, to build lean muscle mass, to have healthy bone density. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, okay, well then your body needs testosterone.
It's, and you're also visibly leaner now.
Yeah,
doing that.
I'm not bulkier. I'm actually way leaner. My clothes, like my waist has gone down like 2 inches. I'm like literally taking testosterone, eating more. It's like your body needs lean muscle mass, and lifting weights and like working out and eating enough protein, it's going to create more lean muscle. But if you're not taking care of the body fat on top of it, that's where I think a lot of people get caught up in, like, I'm going to stop lifting because my body's getting bigger. It's because you're not focusing on being at a maintenance or a deficit at the same time. If you're eating in a caloric surplus, you're not taking care of the body fat on top of your lean muscle mass. So yeah, we will create a bigger just like feeling. And I've been there too. Like when I first started lifting, I would eat cereal for every meal. I was eating tons of processed food. I was eating probably 30 to 60 grams of protein per day, but eating the exact same calorie amount, switching to more protein, more whole foods, my body composition is dramatically different. And it's not just for aesthetic reasons that we lift weight. It's so important for so many other things. Your overall strength, your bone density, your metabolism, your healthy body composition. Lifting weights is so essential, not just for your internal health and your physical health, but also for your mental health. Like, it also teaches you, like, you can do hard things. And I see a direct correlation with women who are lifting weights, having that mental discipline to finish a set, go work out when you don't feel like it. Like, it really strengthens your confidence. And every single time I see a client with a goal to increase confidence, lifting weights translates to every single area of their life. They have more confidence in work, in their relationships, in their friendships. And it's absolutely mind-blowing that it all started with lifting weights.
Yeah, literally. And I think that this is just such a huge, huge, huge myth and misconception in the fitness space, like, especially coming, you know, from someone who, like, body composition has never come easy to me. It's always been difficult for me to be try to naturally get leaner. So it's like very easy for me to put on mass. And for someone underneath that category where getting lean is very hard, being a little bit larger and having more mass is very easy. I'm telling you, like 99.999%, if you're a woman who is like feeling bulkier, it's the diet. Like 99.9%, like it is the diet. And I know that's hard to like wrap our heads around. Like, it's easier to like blame the dumbbells or blame, you know, the resistance training. But I'm telling you guys, like, usually it's the diet and what we're filling that diet with, because without us even realizing it, you know, there's so many calories we are accumulating, whether that be like the Starbucks drinks or, you know, the little snacks here and there, how they accumulate. What are we filling those meals with? Like, how much processed food are we eating versus unprocessed food? All of those things with our nutrition are going to directly impact body composition. So again, if you're someone struggling with that, really take a look at the diet. You know, if you are someone who feels like, you know, you are getting like a little bit bulkier or, you know, just putting on a little bit of weight, I strongly encourage you to look at the diet objectively and try to pinpoint what could potentially be causing it. Is it the total volume of calories? Is it what we're filling the calories with? Or is it a mix of both?
Exactly. And I also think over the past year or so, like, TikTok has given weightlifting a bad rap. I think everyone's like Pilates over weightlifting or low impact over weightlifting. And like, lifting weights is low impact. Like, if, unless you're doing like high intensity,
yeah, if you're
like
smart,
like I would say like lifting with high intensity would be like And this is once again, not to shit on group classes. Like I go to group classes myself, but if you're doing like F45, 6 days a week, like that's high intensity with weights. And if you have a stress response to that, like if your body is susceptible to stress or your hormones are imbalanced and you have a lot of stressors in your everyday life, that's going to create an inflammatory response and your body may hold on to some inflammation or just like weight with stress added to your daily life with training. So, because sometimes training can be a stressor, but if you're focusing on proper recovery, which we do with our clients, like for example, I lift weights 3 days a week. I have plenty of recovery time between. I'm not doing like burpees with dumbbells or doing anything crazy. Like I'm literally just lifting weights, resting between sets, lifting weights, resting between sets, focusing on a step goal. And on those days in between, I can still do Pilates. I can still do a group fitness class like that, like a boot camp or a spin class, but you already do most of the time. And if you're focusing on like low impact and recovery, getting proper sleep, then those moments of like stress to your body's able to handle. But I see so many women who are like, I stopped lifting and I lost 10 pounds. It was definitely inflammation and it was could potentially be lean muscle mass too that you're losing. So over time, that's going to actually like hinder your body composition goals. But in the moment, it feels good to see that weight loss for sure. I will definitely like validate that. But you have to have a healthy combination of like building lean muscle mass, focusing on recovery. And I think that like beautiful balance of like lifting, Pilates, and like a group class or like a cardio session can create a balance of like what your body needs. But if you're doing too much of one thing, it can hurt your body composition more than help it. So I'm here to tell you, like, lifting weights will not make you bulky. I have so many women who like look leaner in their clothes and feel more confident and their clothes are fitting better by lifting weights, because with more muscle mass, you have less body fat. And that's where you see your measurements change. So for example, like prepping for our wedding, I'm still lifting weights. I'm still being intentional. I'm still eating a ton of protein and I'm focusing on seeing my measurements change for my dress, but I'm not focusing on a weight goal because my body, my like ideal body goal and like physique may weigh a little bit more than what I think because muscle is factored into that. So I promise you, lifting weights, eating protein is not going to make you bulky. It's mostly diet and it could be stress too that's creating that bulky response.
Yeah. And I think the next myth really goes hand in hand with that one. And this one is carbs are the enemy. Like this is one that is just beaten to death. And I just think it this topic alone just mirrors so much in the health and fitness space and especially around the nutrition side of things. But we love to take things to extremes where it's like, you know, you're either on the side of, okay, no carbs, keto, or you're like, you know, no, you need 300 to 400 grams of carbs a day. And rarely does anybody talk about that nice middle ground, you know, between a low carb and a high carb diet. You know, a balanced, moderate carb intake is really going to be beneficial for most people because, again, I think it's just easier mentally for us to be like, okay, we're eating no carbs or we're eating all the carbs. And I'm here to tell you guys, as someone who has done keto, who has done high carb, who has done moderate carb, it's all about how we control total calories. Again, when it comes to body composition, when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to, you know, these things we're talking about, especially fat loss, like body composition is going to be predicated off of energy balance. Calories in, calories out. Again, there's more complex kind of subtopics to that, but that is going to be the number one thing. A lot of us love to blame like one specific thing like carbs, but it's like, no. It's always going to be those calories that matter the absolute most, because when you think about this logically, all of the macronutrients, carbs included, carbs, proteins, fats, they fall underneath the umbrella of calories. So what we are filling those calories with are important, but those calories will always be the difference maker at the end of the day from a weight loss, weight gain standpoint. Now, you know, from a carb standpoint, can this affect body composition in certain scenarios? Yes, this is where I think, you know, from my experience coaching different men over time, it's evident that different people respond differently to larger or smaller quantities of carbohydrates. I personally think, you know, for most people, like the moderate range is going to be money as long as we're controlling, you know, the total calories. And this is where, you know, also the type of carb is crucial. You know, this is where we want, the goal really should be, you know, to fill our carbohydrates with as much fruits, vegetables, and starchy non-processed carbohydrates as we can. You know, that's really where, you know, the more whole foods we're eating, not only is this going to give us more nutrients, but, you know, when we know the nutritional science, we are literally going to be burning more calories. It's going to require our body more energy to break down unprocessed food versus processed food. Like it does not require a lot of energy for our body to break down like simple, highly processed foods, and especially carbs and sugars. Like it can rip through that stuff really quickly. Versus, you know, having those fibrous, you know, more starchier carbs or fruits or vegetables, our body's going to require a ton of energy to break those carbohydrates down. So we're literally burning calories eating those types of foods. And again, we're going to get such a high and such a beneficial nutrient profile from, you know, those options versus, you know, eating more processed foods. So again, carbs are not the enemy. For 90% of people, calories are the enemy. You're just eating too many calories. That is the problem, not the carbs. But again, as you guys can tell through this whole episode, I don't know why we do this as humans, but we love to have like one thing we can just blame.
A villain.
And yeah, exactly. And like a lot of times we think it's the carbs, and I used to be someone that thought like that. But anytime I was in that situation where I thought my carbs were causing my lack of progress, it always came back to the calories. It always came back to the situation. I was eating too many calories. I was leaving calories on the table that I wasn't tracking or I wasn't being mindful of. And that's what hindered my ability to achieve successful weight loss and fat loss over time.
Yeah. And a big piece of carbohydrates is like your brain needs a certain amount to function throughout the day, and also like to fuel your workouts. Typically, like I remember when I was competing, I was on low carb, like for the very end of my cut. And then I got a refeed, which was like a higher carb day. My muscles really filled out. And I was like in that phase where I was on low carbohydrates, I was like, I just look so flat. Like I look like I have no muscle. I felt like skinny fat. And the second my body got carbohydrates, I'm like, oh, I have abs. My biceps are popping, because your muscles need glycogen to fuel your workouts and to also like to show and like pop, honestly. So there is a fine balance of, like I said, like between low carb and a refeed, like high carb, where you're in that middle ground where like your muscles are filled out, you have enough energy, you're not holding a ton of water weight from like a super high carb diet. But also making sure those carbohydrates are coming from whole foods is so important. I typically see, like when a client or like even myself, like back when I was eating lower carb, I really struggled to hit my fiber goal. And your fiber has so much benefit, like your body's response to carbohydrates, like a huge piece of weight loss resistance and insulin resistance goes hand in hand with that. It's like how your body responds to carbohydrates is dependent on like your blood sugar balance, and like your fat loss is heavily dependent on your blood sugar balance. If you're constantly spiking your blood sugar with high carbohydrate, like processed carbs versus like whole grains, fruits, vegetables, and those fibrous carbohydrates, like your blood sugar is going to have such a like lower curve. It would be like a baby ride versus like the top thrill dragster. And that determines your body composition and your fat loss. So by having carbohydrates with protein and fat, that's going to balance your blood sugar with fiber as well, because those carbohydrates you're choosing are high in fiber. So it really just changes your relationship with carbohydrates when you're eating, like, not that there's good and bad carbs, but we are eating most of the time. And if most of your carbohydrates, once again, 80% whole foods, you're aiming for those fibrous whole grains, you're not going to have such high cravings. Your body composition is going to feel different. Your fiber intake is going to be much higher, which then does so much for your gut health and your hunger levels too, which then makes a calorie deficit much more attainable. So there's so much we could rant on when it comes to carbs, but I know personally for me, my body composition looks so much better than it did when I was trying to do keto, because I just created an unhealthy relationship with food and it's really hard to sustain long-term. And you also may notice if you're on low carbs, you have more brain fog. You have a flatter appearance, like I said, where your muscles you're working so hard for in the gym aren't even popping. So it creates just like this weird relationship with fitness and food when we do demonize those carbohydrates. So eat your carbs, but eat healthy carbs, complex carbs. And the last myth is on the topic of diet. And this myth is you can out-exercise a bad diet. And I used to fully subscribe to this myth for the longest time. When I was in college, I would have a weekend where I went all out. I would drink. I would go to the food hall. I would get all this drunk food and then be like, it's cool. I'm going to the gym tomorrow. Like, I will be just fine. And so when I had that mindset of like outworking a bad diet, my body composition reflected it for sure. So nutrition plays such a huge role. You cannot overcompensate or compensate for poor eating habits through like outdoing it with exercise. And the main reasons why is like your metabolism. Like a diet high in processed foods and like sugars will negatively impact your metabolism. So if you think that you can like burn these calories off, like those processed carbs are still creating a response in your body. And you're most likely, if you're eating poor, like once again, soul foods, processed foods, you're probably not getting enough protein. So you outworking that diet, like you don't even have enough protein to build lead muscle mass. So it's going to make it super hard to maintain a healthy weight, to lose body fat, or to like create a healthy, sustainable lifestyle when it comes to training and nutrition. And it also will negatively impact your body composition. You'll have more body fat, less lean muscle mass. And like I talked about earlier, the more muscle you have, the more survivability you have in like the longevity of your life. And having a poor diet will still create unhealthy levels of body fat. It will hinder your ability to build lean muscle mass, and you'll just like look different. Like, I feel like when you don't have that like health or unhealthy relationship of like that vicious cycle of like eating a ton of soul foods, exercising to burn it off, and you're most likely doing cardio, which like we talked about earlier, another myth is like cardio is the way. Like, you will create the body of your dreams by doing cardio, but that's taking away from the time that you can build lean muscle mass. Those calories are pulling from those goal foods that are going to help you create a thriving metabolism and body composition and lean muscle mass. So it just creates a vicious cycle of like all or nothing, truly. And it never creates that like sustainable lifestyle where like you can have 20% soul foods in moderation, but you are what you do most of the time. And when you eat those healthy foods, you crave soul foods less, and you exercise for different reasons. You're not doing it to like burn or restrict. You're doing it to, like I said, create that compound effect of lean muscle mass over time through strength training and supplementing with cardio.
Yeah. And as we were finishing this up, something that popped in my mind was, you know, as an athlete, you know, I've been around a lot of genetically gifted individuals. And, you know, the longer I am in this profession, the more I realize that everyone is truly genetically different. And a good example of this is like, you know, some of my, you know, former athlete buddies, like I have one specifically who's very genetically gifted, where, you know, he only started tracking his protein. Like, out of all the protocols, like that Chris and I always talk about, like, this is a really good example of how bio individual everybody is. Like, the literal only variable that he started becoming aware of and tracking was protein intake. And the man literally looks like he's practically on steroids, like minimal body fat, jacked as hell, not really controlling his calorie intake, only paying attention to protein, and he gets those kind of results. So I think it's just important to close this episode that out of all these different myths we're talking about, the degree at which you will have to focus on these different things are going to be totally different per individual. You know, I just gave the example of my friend. I know for me, like, to maintain a lean physique, I have to keep my workouts dialed, the intensity dialed. I have to keep my non-exercise activity consistent. I have to be on top of it literally all of the time. I have to be diligent with my calories, my protein. I have to be mindful of my carbs and my fats. I have to be super mindful of, you know, how many whole foods I'm eating in correlation to how many, you know, soul foods I'm eating. So as you guys can see, like, for most of us out there, we are going to have to control a lot of variables to get the outcomes and the results that we want. And so I think it's just important to realize that, you know, what works for someone, or if you guys know someone or you see someone online who's, you know, says like, hey, I can eat this amount of calories and be shredded, just always have it in your mind that, you know, every single person is truly individually different. And that's where we want you guys to always take this information that we present to you and apply it to your unique situation and your unique, you know, biology, lifestyle, everything, to ensure, you know, that you are basically on the right path to success and on the right path to getting the results you want. But just be realistic with yourself that, you know, whether that be you know the things it's going to require to get those results and then you have to follow through with them, or be realistic of the fact that, hey, maybe I am not willing to do the things necessary to get me to those results. And those are all the things that you guys individually have to really come to realize. And that's something that we help our clients honestly discover over time, is like, is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, is the goal you are truly, like the goal you have in mind, is it worth what it's going to take to get there? That's something that you have to decide, because again, we all are different and it's going to require different degrees of intensity, different degrees of focus to get the results we ultimately want.
Yeah, and something that you mentioned there, well, that entire spiel made me think of something that is not a myth. And that's, like you said, like that we're all super individual, and that, yes, we are genetically predisposed for certain body types. And something we didn't mention, and we talked about it a lot, like some people are more predisposed to building lean muscle mass. Some people can respond to higher carbohydrates better than the norm. And that's because there are three different body types, and these aren't like an end all be all, like people fall kind of within like the middle ground of the spectrum. But there are ectomorphs, which is essentially people who have like that leaner build where like they have a super fast metabolism. Those small changes can make a massive difference, just like Zach talked about, where just like tracking protein.
Yeah, like I had guys on the football team who were like 5% and 6% body fat and were eating pizza and fast food all the time. So like, we're all playing a different game here.
Yeah, you cannot compare at all, too. Even with lean muscle mass, like there are mesomorphs who like build lean muscle and they have that like super athletic physique where they have like a higher metabolism. It's kind of like moderate ground of like, that's where like a balanced carbohydrate and macro profile works well, but they may have like higher testosterone levels. They may build more lean muscle mass like easier than someone who's an endomorph, which is the final body type, which is just like a higher body fat percentage. You have a slower metabolism. You may find it harder to lose weight. It's much easier to gain weight. So you have to go to more of those like extreme measures. So if you're someone who is an endomorph, you cannot compare your lifestyle. And I see that all the time with who you follow on social media, especially for women. If you are more of that endomorph body type where like you may have a slower metabolism, you may have a higher body fat percentage, you can't look at someone on Instagram who's doing Pilates, eating 3,000 calories.
Who's been lean their whole entire lives.
And it's genetic. It's nothing to do with their habits. It's all to do with like our predisposition for metabolism and our body type. And you can work with your body type, but you also have to change your expectations and understand like this is individual to me. I cannot compare how much someone else is working out. I cannot compare how much someone else is eating, what their carbs look like. Like for our clients, we dramatically, like not dramatically, we make everything so individual and custom where we take into consideration like body fat percentage, metabolic rate, like all everyone's factors, like not any client is following the same program, macros, macro split, calorie goal. It's all super individual, not only based on their lifestyle and what's realistic and their goals, but also on their body type and like what works well for them. And it takes some time to figure it out, like how their body responds to certain carbohydrates and macro profiles and training and intensity and all these different things. So please do not compare your journey to somebody else's. Like everyone is so individual.
Yeah. And as you were talking about that, like our coaching process, I just think it is very unique because you don't see this in this space. But like Christina talked about, you know, when we bring a new client in, we are getting as much assessed as humanly possible. We are gathering as much information as humanly possible to understand where this client has been, where they are right now, and where we are trying to get them to go. And what's really cool about this process is we're able to get them started in the right direction from all of that assessment and all of that information. But the way that we do our coaching is it's ever evolving. It's reciprocated. We are constantly assessing and we are constantly getting feedback. And when you can do that, that's where the magic happens. That's why the results that we get for our clients are so phenomenal, because there's that process of constant assessment. How did this work? Getting biofeedback, like literally like assessing the feedback their body is literally giving us from the protocols and from the inputs we're giving it. And that's where the magic happens. So if you guys can do that yourselves on your own, I'm telling you, you're going to get some phenomenal results.
And on that note, we will close out for today's episode. We appreciate you guys so much for listening. We hope these like us debunking these myths was super educational for you guys and empowers you to just play the long game and put blinders on when it comes to this health and fitness space, because there's so much information out there. It's super overwhelming.
There's so much bullshit out there, guys.
But we hope all of these episodes, like 123 episodes of Life Rewired, helps you guys feel empowered and educated and just like in charge of your health and fitness for the long run. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you could share this on your story, you may help someone else who believes in these myths to understand the truth behind them and also spread the word of Life Rewired. We appreciate it more than you guys know. Tag us both, tag Life Rewired, and check out the show notes for all coaching links, our newsletters, and the Nash link to grab a box of bars to try.
Peace out, guys.